So we move into sermon number 3 in our series, Paradox, Seemingly Contradictory Teachings of Scripture. And this paradox is what I'm calling the give to get. Give to get. Now, that sounds a little strange for a pastor to say that, you know, we can give to get. And while the intention isn't, well, I got to give some so I can get some, we give because we've already received. But there is something which Scripture tells us that in giving, we also do get. Here's an interesting thing. You are richer than 75% of the world if you have food in your refrigerator. If you have clothes in a closet, that is, if you have more than what you're wearing, you're richer than 75% of the world. If you have a bed to sleep in, and if you have a roof over your head. Isn't that amazing? That if we have these things, we are richer than 75% of the world. And so when we talk about giving to get, it really is, for many of us listening today here in Devon, in Alberta, in Canada, whether you're here in person or you're online, this is us. We are actually very, very blessed. Let us not forget how blessed we already are. And this person named R.G. Letourneau, who started a university, he was an industrialist, he was into heavy equipment and so on. He was also a Christian, and he discovered that in giving, there was a blessing. And he said, it's not about how much of my money I give to God, it's about how much of God's money I keep. Isn't that an interesting perspective? Because we say that Scripture teaches us that everything we have belongs to God. I was listening to a sermon the other day by Stephen Furtick, and he said this. He says, when I talk about tithing, people says, wow, that's a lot of money to give away. He said, no, the 90% I get to keep, that's a lot of money. What an interesting change of perspective. And so I have a question. Is it okay to give to get? For those of you in the house, how many of you think that would be okay? That's maybe something the Bible teaches. Anybody? Here, you can raise a hand, and those of you online can answer that. Is it possible to be rich and yet poor? I think that's an interesting question to ask, isn't it? We often in the developed world, we tend to think of rich people only in terms of material richness. And often the comment is that the rest of the world is materially poor, but say relationally rich. So there's more ways to talk about poverty and wealth than just money. But those are some questions for us to ask ourselves. So I want to read, I think, 3 passages that talk about this. And this is Jesus saying, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And in the world at that time, in that part of the world, often people wore tunics, and it was designed in such a way that you could kind of do this and carry stuff in here. And so that's why it says, you know, that it will pour onto your lap, so that if you give somebody a lot, eventually you will also receive a lot. That's why he talks about this, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Make sure that that container is really full. And Paul is talking to a group of people. This is in Acts 20:25, and he says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of Jesus, the words of the Lord Jesus himself. Now, we don't have these words recorded in the gospel, but if you look at the gospel of Luke, Luke says that when he wrote his gospel, I have been so meticulous, so careful to research, to talk to the right people, to ask the right questions. And you can be 100% confident that the account I've written of Jesus' life is accurate. And so being that accurate, you know he's going to be equally accurate in the book of Acts, which he wrote as well. It's kind of volume two to his writings. He says that Jesus at some point said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, many of us may have experienced the blessing of having given to someone. And you know when, and it's interesting for us, I think for those that follow Christ, because sometimes we are prompted to give something to someone. And other times people are prompted to give something to us. And, you know, sometimes what we people do here in Devon is that when you go pay for your Tim Hortons at the drive-thru, you're like, can I pay for the person behind? And sure enough, then you can pay for that. And then, you know, there's a couple of things you can do. It's kind of watching the rearview mirror, what their reaction is going to be, or try to get away, just drive away and let it be. When I lived in the San Francisco area, I would often travel into San Francisco from the North Bay. And of course, there was a toll to pay as you had finished crossing the Golden Gate Bridge. And I drove this little 1983 Honda Accord hatchback, and I would try to maneuver my way so that when we came to the toll booth, I was in front of a nice car. And if you know about the Bay Area, the just north of San Francisco, on the other side of the Golden Gate, some of the wealthiest communities in the entire United States. And so it was easy to find a Mercedes-Benz, a Bentley, a Ferrari, these kinds of cars. And I would maneuver my way in there so that when I came to pay the toll, they were right behind me. They would be next. And I would then pay for them. At the time, it wasn't a lot of money, somewhere $3, $4. And so it was so much fun then to try to get away and then try to have these cars you see, they're trying to chase you to see who paid for them. But there's something about giving, Jesus said, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And then we have the third passage is the Apostle Paul writing to a young man, probably in his early 30s, named Timothy. And he says, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. That is really an interesting thing what Paul is saying here. Again, God provides for the rich, for those. Some people are just really good at making money. And he says, it's okay. Paul never says that they should not be rich. He says, just tell them two things, not to be proudful and not to put their hope in money because it could be gone really quick. I had a friend named Raymond in Idaho who had invested pretty much all his life savings in silver. And at some point, the price of silver just dropped. And all the money he had made was gone. Just gone, just like that. And so this is why Paul says, tell them not to be proudful. And also tell them that the money they have, don't put their hope in it, because it could be gone really, really fast. Instead, he said, that God give it to us for our enjoyment. And also to give generously, to bless others, because money is only good for this earth. That's why we read that we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out. So what Paul says here echoes something Jesus said in the Gospels, that we can set up treasures for us in heaven by giving the blessings with which we have been blessed here, giving them away, especially investing them in God's kingdom. That's why it says that then you will have treasures in the true life, the life to come. Imagine to have wealth here and to get to heaven and only to discover that you're poor in heaven. That's kind of a weird concept, isn't it? But let's look here at some at why I think Scripture teaches us that it's better to give than to receive. One is because giving fosters intimacy with God. We don't tend to think that by giving away, that it's a gateway as someone has said, Chip Ingram says, that generosity is the gateway to a deeper relationship with God. Another reason why giving is better than receiving is that giving builds trust and dependence. Why? Because when I give part of what I've been blessed with, I'm trusting that somehow God will work out what I keep to meet my needs. And I have to trust in Him and I have to depend on Him. Most of us would like to have a security. I think that's a built-in natural desire of us human beings. And yet, when we give, it forces us to trust God a little more than when we don't. Also, giving is an eternal investment. The return on your investment is fantastic. That's why Jesus said, invest your money up there in heaven, where thieves don't break into banks and steal, where the stock market doesn't crash, where the your treasure does not lose its value, where the interest rates don't drop when the economy goes bad. It's an investment with fully guaranteed returns, and that's why it's an eternal investment. And another reason is that giving is not limited to money. We can give of our time, of our resources, of our skill, of our experience, of our words of encouragement. All of this, there's so many ways to give, not just financially. And giving, why it's better to give than to receive? Because giving is a double blessing. My father-in-law, who was after the fall of communism, he became a businessman, and God blessed him, I think, out of his faithfulness of serving God and giving to the church and staying to care for the church. And then God blessed him in his later years in his businesses. And then when he got into his 60s and 70s, we said, Dad, why are you still working? Why don't you sell the businesses? He said, well, I'm doing it so for the work of the church and for my family. And then he said something that I've never forgotten. He said, when I make money, God blesses me. I feel His blessing. And when I give it away, I feel blessed a second time. Isn't that amazing? And this is just how God's kingdom works. That with the same amount of money that you receive, that blessing can be a double blessing by blessing someone else. And maybe that person blesses somebody else. And it just keeps becoming more and more of a blessing. So giving is a double blessing. That is one of the reasons why giving is better than receiving. And the last one I have here is that giving frees us up from greed. You know, the reality is that the human heart in this fallen world, it's common to say, you know, if I buy this thing, whatever it is that you want it, I'll be satisfied. And then you buy that, and then, you know, as it happens, a couple of months later, the new version, improved, comes out. It's kind of like cell phones. You know the cell phone companies that sell you a phone, and then there's like, oh, your cell phone, it's already outdated. And you're like, it's doing everything I want it to do. But they're telling you, you need, you know, the newest version. And it's the same thing. We're never satisfied. And that's why when we give, it nips it in the bud, and it doesn't grab a hold of our hearts. That's why I think Scripture tells us on more than one occasion that giving is better than receiving. So how do we live out this paradox? How do we practice this teaching of Scripture? Number one is to do good. That's what Scripture tells us, to do good, to not hoard stuff to ourselves, but to share the blessing that we have been given with those in need. And especially with those that could never repay us. There's a great blessing in that, because I think Scripture kind of hints at the fact that those that lend to the poor is like lending to God, and God will never let you down. Another thing is to be rich in good deeds. Again, that's what we find in this Scripture in Timothy. To be rich, not just in material possessions, but in doing good for people in need. There's something so beautiful about being rich in that way. Scripture teaches us also to be generous. To be generous. And you know, it uses an interesting word when it speaks of God's love for us. It says that God lavished His love on us. God is not stingy. He doesn't just give us a little bit. He goes above and beyond. And this is the example set for us, and this is how we are to be generous as well. And to be willing to share. This is another way that when God blesses us with whatever He blesses us, let's be willing to share. Let's be willing to give it away if that's what the Lord prompts us to do. Sometimes when our children are small and they receive something, and we're like, share that with your brother or with your sister. Some are like, sure. And others are like, no, it's mine. And you know, that happens not just with kids. That also happens with adults. But we can give and we can share. So this Archie Letourneau fellow that I mentioned, at some point in his life, he was given away 90% of his revenue and keeping living on 10%. And one of the things he said in his book, his biography called Mover of Men and Mountains, because again, he was into heavy equipment, earth moving equipment. But he said, I keep shoveling the money out and God keeps shoveling it back in. And God's shovel is bigger. I can tell you that anyone who's practiced this generosity of giving will testify that God always is blessing. When we obey Him, when we listen to Him, God will never be indebted to us. You will never outgive God. And this is the principle that Archie Letourneau had discovered in his giving, and why giving is better than to receive. So we don't give to get. We give because we've already received. And in giving, we find real joy. In giving, that first blessing that we've received becomes a second blessing in sharing it. That's why give to get is not really a paradox. It's a principle that Scripture teaches us so that we live a blessed life and we can continue to be a blessing. Maybe you have found it in your life that sometimes the Lord prompts you. I think a church word. Yeah, I felt the Lord told me, or I was prompted to give something to someone. There's stories that you can read about people who have experienced that as the receiver, but also people who have experienced it as the giving. And sometimes as a pastor, I get to be Santa Claus, where somebody will come and say, you know, the Lord put it in my heart to bless so-and-so. Can you please give it to them, but don't tell them that it's for me? And I get a blessing out of just being the mail person, the delivery person. It's wonderful. And so let us be generous. And I think in the live stream, you're being asked, and we're going to ask those of you here, you know, how can you put this principle into practice this week? How can you bless someone with little or with much as you have been blessed and as the Lord prompts you? I encourage you to do that and experience the good thing of receiving God's blessing. Let's pray. God, thank you that you gave. That's what Scripture tells us, that you love so much that you gave. And that is your nature, to give over and over and over again, and to give in abundance, to surprise us, even as the Bible says that every good gift comes from you. And as we remember Jesus' words, that it is more blessed to give than to receive, help us this week, this month, this summer, even in this economic condition that we're in our province, to practice that and being generous with others. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.